Hello, and welcome to Capital Compass. We are the official podcast of the New York State Catholic Conference. I'm your host, Jillian. In episode 19, I'll be talking with Bishop John O. Barris of the Diocese of Rockville Center about Labor Day and the spirituality of work. Before we get to the interview portion of the podcast, I just wanted to thank our listeners for tuning in. Whether this is your first time listening or you're a dedicated subscriber, I want to thank you and tell you how much we appreciate you. Our summer hiatus is over, and we'll be coming out with a new episode of Capital Compass every other Wednesday. With the upcoming holiday weekend, we wanted to take a deeper look at Labor Day in a more spiritual way. I was lucky enough to talk to Bishop John O. Barris from the Diocese of Rockville Center, for those who don't know, it's in Long Island, about bringing holiness and mission to the changing world of work. Stay tuned for my interview with Bishop Barris. We'll be right back after a brief message. Are you interested in staying up to date with New York State legislation pertinent to the Catholic Church? Do you want your Catholic voice to be heard? Sign up for the Catholic Action Network by going to our website at nyscatholic.org/action-center or texting CAN to 50457. Again, CAN, C-A-N, to 50457. Today, our guest is Bishop John O. Barris of Rockville Center. Bishop Barris is a native of Larkmont, New York in Westchester County, and he is the fifth bishop of Rockville Center. He was ordained as a priest for the Diocese of Wilmington. Bishop Barris also served as bishop of Allentown, Pennsylvania, before being appointed by Pope Francis to Rockville Center in December of 2016. He was installed the next month, and in 2021, he published a pastoral letter called Holiness and Mission in the Changing World of Work to coincide with Labor Day. And today, he's our guest to talk about Labor Day and the spirituality of work. So welcome.
Thank you. It's great to be with everyone.
So whether it be the Catholic feast day of St. Joseph the Worker on May 1st or our secular Labor Day, which is coming up, which is why we thought this was very fitting of a subject, we have the opportunity to celebrate workers and the dignity of work. So why is this so important?
It's so much of our lives are spent working in so many different dimensions of work, our professional lives, our work around the home. All those different dimensions of work are meant to be made holy. And St. Joseph, as we celebrated the year of St. Joseph, it was a wonderful time to rediscover the whole dimension of St. Joseph and that devotion to St. Joseph the Worker. It was established, the feast or memorial of St. Joseph the Worker was established in the mid-50s by Pope Pius XII in a very positive and constructive way. There were all sorts of May Day celebrations in communist countries that honored a false philosophy of work. And this was a Holy Father's way of constructively expressing a Catholic theology, philosophy, and spirituality of work through the lens of St. Joseph the Worker.
Going a little more into that, I guess, Pope Francis's December 8th, 2020 apostolic letter, Patris Cordae, which was also the 150th anniversary of the proclamation of St. Joseph as patron of the Universal Church, builds on two previous papal encyclicals, one from Pope Leo XIII and one from St. John Paul II, on work and the dignity of work. So can you summarize for our listeners what the Holy Fathers wanted Catholics to take away from these and why the Church has historically been so closely aligned with the labor movement, even to the present day, such as with our advocacy to farm workers' rights?
Yes, the history, these beautiful Catholic teachings they arise in concrete historical circumstances. Pope Leo, the great Pope Leo XIII, the Catholic social justice pope, the author of Rerum Novarum, he was living in a time of the Industrial Revolution where there were difficulties in terms of the rights of workers were being violated. There were a lack of child labor laws. There were all sorts of injustices, and the rights of workers needed to be addressed. And Pope Leo XIII really did that beautifully, of course, focusing on all the gospel principles that were there from the very beginning. And of course, Pope St. John Paul II, in his encyclical on human work, talked a lot about the theology and spirituality of work. And it's all connected. You know, Pope Francis, all the Holy Fathers have addressed it, but these three popes in a powerful way. And everyone mentions the example of St. Joseph. Here, I think, are some of the, Jillian, some of the takeaways of Catholic teaching, Catholic theology and spirituality of work. First of all, a Catholic theology and spirituality of work is grounded in our baptismal call to holiness within the communion of saints. We're called to work with humble excellence, to go the extra mile as a good Samaritan in service. We all know experiences. All of us have had different experiences of work, even from the time we were working as teenagers. And when we enter a workplace, we find out pretty quickly, is there charity in the workplace? Is there a spirit of justice? Is there a spirit of respecting people's reputations? Is there a spirit of industriousness, going the extra mile? Is there poise when there is pressure, overtime, unexpected deadlines? We can pick those things up pretty quickly. And we can also see people, and we pick up pretty quickly and intuit that there are certain people who lift the workplace with their charity, with their humility, with a humble and charitable sense of humor, who are able to be an instrument of peace when there's pressure in the workplace. And St. Joseph, of course, is such a beautiful model. The Holy Father, Pope Francis, when the year of St. Joseph was complete on December 8th, 2021, he continued with some audiences or catecheses on the life of St. Joseph. And in the third catechesis, he talked about St. Joseph's, quote, industrious silence. As soon as I read that phrase, I was so inspired by it because it kind of connects St. Joseph the mystic, St. Joseph the contemplative, with St. Joseph the worker, a worker who's industrious, who has a great attention to detail, you know, as a carpenter, you know, was in service to the families and the people he worked for. And St. Joseph the worker lived in the context of the Holy Family. And so we understand that St. Joseph the worker worked with Our Lady the worker and Jesus the worker as well, that spirit of work within the family. And it's so important in family Catholic formation that there is a beautiful sense of formation in work, that work around the home is done with excellence. Chores, you know, there's not one of us who as a child tried to shrug off a chore or two. But at the same time, you know, when parents model for us that beautiful spirit of work and doing things well, following things through, having a spirit of creativity, reliability, maturity, that's part of family formation and the Catholic spirit, the theological virtues of faith, hope, and charity, the cardinal virtues or moral virtues of prudence, fortitude, temperance, all of these different dimensions come together and are modeled within the family. And then they go out into the world in a beautiful Good Samaritan way. And everything kind of moves through in and through this beautiful figure of St. Joseph the worker and St. Joseph the contemplative, and is beautiful, in the words of Pope Francis, industrious silence.
Yeah, I think although Labor Day is very secular, and nowadays I feel like people more think of it as the beginning of the school year and a three-day weekend, that you can definitely link church and state together and think more of St. Joseph, not just on Labor Day or his feast day, but kind of throughout the year, you know, with your work.
Oh, Jillian, absolutely. And we, as Catholics in our Catholic formation, in our call, baptismal call to holiness and mission, we're called to take that spirit of work directly into into the public square and to bring, you know, that Catholic formation directly in a way that enriches and sets a light of Christ in every circumstance that we go to. St. Paul says, spread the aroma of Christ everywhere you go. And that's in every workplace, whether it's a virtual workplace or, you know, and most of us have some sort of hybrid these days, just living our faith. And sometimes it's amazing how deeply our faith can speak in a workplace without ever using any words, you know, a spirit of cheerfulness, that sense of supporting our coworkers and actually comforting them, giving them counsel, especially when the pressure's on, especially when there's unexpected deadlines or overtime. We can be the salt and light of Jesus Christ in those very concrete secular circumstances. And people then, you know, people are very intuitive. They sense, for instance, when somebody is deeply sincere, when they're not two-faced, when they're committed to verbal charity and the respect of reputations in our own place of work and in our clients, people pick that up. And it is a light of Christ, and people want to work with that person. They want to be led by that person.
You talk in your pastoral letter entitled Holiness and Mission in the Changing World of Work about the Catholic spirituality of work. And we already cover this a little bit, but you know, I'm sure you have jobs that you don't necessarily want to do, you know, and there's some things in every job that are kind of mundane tasks. So how can we find that spirituality in that?
Yes, I think the contemplative attention to detail, when people aren't watching what you're doing, still doing it with excellence, doing it for the glory of God and the salvation of souls as the key motivation. There's not one of us that doesn't have a temptation to laziness or a little bit of shoddy work or cutting corners. But when we pray, when we allow a discipline of the Holy Spirit, daily silence, the Catholic saints, mystics, and martyrs teach us, St. Joseph in a special way, that if we want to be truly productive in every dimension of life on our short time on earth, we're called to have this contemplative spirit. So often in American culture, we equate productivity with hyperactivity. And the Catholic saints, mystics, and martyrs teach us, no, you want to be really productive, you want to really lead people with humble excellence, then allow the discipline of the Holy Spirit in a social media addicted world to factor in a certain amount of deep silence each and every day. Allow the Holy Spirit to expand your capacity for contemplative concentration and to grow in the Holy Spirit in terms of prayer, who is the ultimate teacher of prayer. Now, all of us know mental prayer, you know, all of us, when we sit down and try and pray, there's not one of us who does not have distractions. It's part of our fallen human nature. But the great saints, mystics, and martyrs like St. Teresa of Avila, who had a great devotion to St. Joseph and counted St. Joseph as an intercessor in her progress in daily mental prayer, she herself talks about her own distractions in mental prayer. They were like wild horses running through her brain. That should give us comfort and consolation. So when we sit down to pray, maybe it's a 10 to 15 minute session of mental prayer, and suddenly we're doing what we're going to get on our grocery list in aisle 6 at the Stop and Shop, or maybe we were thinking about our to-do list for tomorrow, or maybe we've had some sort of conflict within the family or some sort of contradiction at work, and suddenly we're stewing in our juice. We gently turn back to the face of Jesus Christ. And it's a great act of faith. Faith and prayer go together. When we pray daily, our faith expands. When our faith is very connected to that mental prayer. And so we open ourselves. All of us have the distractions. The important thing is we don't get discouraged. St. Alphonsus Liguori, the great doctor of the church, who had a great devotion to St. Joseph, he talked on the one hand that daily mental prayer is necessary for salvation, but he also said that the Holy Trinity delights in the intimacy that we have with them. When he opened the doors of our hearts to that intimacy and to the power and peace of their presence dwelling within us, great things happen in our lives. And we see daily reality through a whole nother lens. Saint Joseph intercedes for us and helps us to find that lens.
So kind of going through that of, you know, the daily, what are some of the key practical points about Catholic theology and the spirituality of work as seen in the life of Saint Joseph the Worker at the end of your pastoral letter?
Yes, I think one of the things too, it's, as I mentioned before, it's part of our baptismal call to holiness and mission.
Yep.
We're called to holiness in the world of work and a very much a changing landscape in terms of how work is conducted in contemporary society. Also, Catholic theology and spirituality of work is an expression of the Paschal mystery. We have to die to ourselves, to our selfishness, and rise in virtue and the Beatitudes and the theological virtues, the moral virtues in our place of work. Thirdly, a Catholic theology and spirituality of work is by definition Eucharistic. Think of that prayer that we hear at Mass. It goes like this. Blessed is preparation of the gifts. Blessed are you, Lord, God of all creation, for through your goodness we have received the bread we offer you, fruit of the earth and work of human hands. It will become for us the bread of life, the work of human hands. All the different work is all the different, the mysterious dimensions of daily work of so many people living in the world is somehow mystically and mysteriously placed on the altar of that Mass through the beautiful transformation of bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ. So it's so important that we connect our faith, this Eucharistic celebration, this miracle of bread and wine becoming the body and blood of Christ, the rhythm of the liturgy of the word connecting with the liturgy of the Eucharist, the unbloody renewal of Christ's sacrifice on Calvary, applied to every work situation, every task that we do at work, we connect it to the power of the Mass. Also, we remember too, a Catholic theology and spirituality of work is grounded in the moral law of the Ten Commandments. And we remember especially the third commandment, duty to keep the Sabbath day holy. That's really important. And many of us have, you know, are challenged by that. But there is that Sabbath day, there's a rhythm to the church's teaching that we work better when we have time for relaxation, when that relaxation that is healthy, that's grounded, that gives us a change of scenery, that opens our minds and hearts to some sort of cultural growth, literary growth, whatever it is, musical growth. And also, of course, just the importance of the focus on our families, that family time is so critical. And it's challenging because families are so much on the run these days. And it's families have to be so intentional to find ways to eat together, to be together, and in a special way on the Sabbath day to really chisel out time that is not rushed, that enables a real presence of Christ with the family, and also that gives the family a good spirit of relaxation and starting again. It's the whole balance. So that third commandment is really important in terms of keeping the Sabbath day holy and devoting a good time, a period of rest. We work better when we get that rest and relaxation. It's an investment. The third commandment is actually an investment in our work productivity. Also, the Catholic theology and spirituality of work is an expression of human and supernatural solidarity. These days, where, you know, the Ukraine is so much on our mind, the terrible war, the plight of refugees, and, you know, everyone had a fairly normal life. They were going about the business of daily work, and then suddenly this war, this tragic and unjust war, is right in the midst of their lives. You know, as we work here, we're in solidarity mysteriously through the Mass, through the Word of God, through prayer, and through, you know, the very concrete things we do to support refugees, whether it's the Church in Aid, Catholic Near East Welfare Association, or the Knights of Columbus, however it happens. But and then, you know, historically, just as we were saying earlier, Jillian, Pope Leo XIII, he expressed the church's solidarity with, you know, children working in mines. I was the Bishop of Allentown, Pennsylvania, in Schuylkill County. There was the history of the injustices perpetrated against mine workers. That was, you know, the Pope Leo XIII were addressing all those types of situations in solidarity with struggling workers. So the rights and dignity of workers is really key. It's part of our teaching, and justice in the workplace. A theology of this and spirituality of work is grounded in the gospel of life and Catholic social justice teaching, as well as our Catholic teaching on integral ecology. When you think about the history of work, you know, when we look at about the tragic historical circumstance of human slavery in the United States, that's a great tragedy in the history of our nation. And what's warped about it is there was a warped view of the human person. There was a warped view of work. And so we see that ideas have consequences in history. All of us are aware of Charles Dickens' A Christmas Carol and those scenes where the philanthropists come in on Christmas Eve and they're trying to secure a big donation for the poor of London, and they have the best of intentions. They're generous men who have a concern for the poor. And Scrooge, his response is simply, "Are there no prisons? Are there no workhouses?" And then later on in the conversations, they're very persistent, in trying to work the philanthropy with Scrooge. He finally says, "If the poor want to die, they should go ahead and do it and decrease the surplus population." Well, that's directly from Robert Malthus and utilitarian ethics, and it has its echoes in the New York State Reproductive Health Act, so-called Reproductive Health Act, that permits abortion till the moment of birth and even infanticide. Ideas have consequences in history, and the objective truths of our Catholic faith reflect how we're made in the image and likeness of God, reflect the natural law, reflect how objective truth actually sows seeds of charity, truth, and justice in human history, and they are seeds of the gospel of life. Whereas the logic of, you know, Father Henry de Lubac, Cardinal de Lubac, in his book, The Drama of Atheistic Humanism, goes back to the 19th century and traces the ideas of Marx, Freud, Nietzsche into the premises of their ideas developed into some of the tragedies and the logic of the concentration camps of the 20th centuries and the logic of the gulags. Ideas have consequences in history. Our Catholic theology and spirituality of work is the objective truth which liberates all of humanity, not just Catholics, but it's liberating to all of humanity. And so we're grateful for that truth and we're called to live it heroically.
You know, you kind of mentioned this earlier especially with the modern day, everything is like go, 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 you know? And it's hard for people to actually traditionally celebrate the Sabbath. So for those who don't know, your diocese is in Long Island, and it's home to millions of people, many of whom are commuters on the Long Island Railroad or driving into New York City or other parts of Long Island. So it's sometimes easily seen as a drudgery, but how can Catholics use that time to enhance their spiritual lives? You know, kind of take a step back, you know, even though sometimes a commute can be stressful, but take a step back and kind of just go to back to spiritual roots, I guess you can say.
No, exactly, Jillian. It's difficult. I mean, it's just, you know, the Long Island Railroad, Monsignor Vlon, the CEO of Catholic Faith Network, we had a series on the Catholic spirituality of commuter delays when there were difficulties, the Long Island Railroad and all sorts of delays. And we talked about the whole process of commuting, getting up, parking your car, trying to make the right train, trying to get a seat, you know, the stress and arriving at Penn Station, kind of moving. Maybe you're taking the E train, whatever it is from there. But there is, you know, there's opportunities for spiritual growth in the commute. There's a number, you know, many lay people find it a time of prayer, find it a time of listening to some spiritual reading on their iPhone. It can be, it's time that can be very, very well used in terms of the commute. And then, you know, the go, 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 and, you know, the hyperactivity, it's a real challenge. And it takes a lot of discernment. And once again, it's kind of the judo move that Catholic mystics martyrs make on the logic, you know, the American consumeristic logic that real productivity is being completely hyperactivity, you know, be involved in hyperactivity and workaholism. Workaholism is a theory of work. We can all fall into it, and all of us do to some extent at times, but it is a false idol. It's, you know, it's putting work as some sort of God in our lives. And we all know that workaholism can destroy marriages and families. And so it's so important if we find we're kind of on a workaholism, you know, crash, it's so important to pull up and kind of see the large perspective, see what we need to do in our marriage to really cultivate, you know, the strength of the marriage, because the way we raise children is so deeply rooted on the harmonious relationship grounded in our Catholic faith between a husband and wife. You know, children are so intuitive and they're so capable of a deep relationship with God, and they watch their parents and their relationship very closely. And so it's so important that we put God first, and in putting God first, we're able to prioritize what's really important, and we're able to find the balance in work. I'm not saying it's not without complexity and a lot of decision-making, but it's so important for us to put first things first. God, the Eucharist, the Word of God, growing in holiness, growing in a missionary spirit. And that's kind of the final thing, that the Catholic theology and spirituality of work is a missionary experience. We spread our Catholic faith in workplaces, even if we never mention any dimension of our faith. The way we work is so important. Also, Jillian, mentoring is so important. All of us can look back on key mentors. You know, some mentor who brought out an excellence and a desire to really sacrifice and learn in ways we didn't think we were capable of. So we give thanks for those mentors, and especially those mentors who modeled a Catholic faith for us as they taught us some sort of secular craft. What was St. Joseph doing? Carpentry, that's a secular craft. He was wholly in the middle of a secular craft. And we're called to follow in his footsteps.
So since the pandemic, some workers have been struggling with getting back to routine. So do you have any words of advice and support for them?
Yes. Go to Joseph. Ask for the intercession of St. Joseph the worker. There's no question. I mean, the COVID-19 experience for all of us, we've been through many seasons and ups and downs of it, and it certainly, and we all know the emotional consequences of it. We also know, the challenges of young people, you know, in the midst of COVID, in the midst of some of the social media challenges connected to COVID. And so, you know, there are doors over our hearts. Sometimes the doors over our hearts are locked. Sometimes the doors are partially open. My best advice is just open wide the doors of our hearts to Jesus Christ. Have a great devotion to the Most Sacred Heart of Jesus. Allow the rhythm of your heart to beat with the rhythm of the Sacred Heart, the rhythm of humility, the rhythm of meekness and gentleness, the rhythm of a humble excellence in daily work, the rhythm of prayer, the rhythm of the cross.
Finally, Labor Day also marks the traditional beginning of the school year, as I mentioned earlier, at least here in the Northeast. What is some advice you would give maybe elementary school students, high school students, and college students about how to connect their academics to their faith and their devotion to St. Joseph? You know, it's especially for young people, it's important to kind of remember that because it's not always at top of mind for them.
Yes, I enjoy, this past weekend I had seven masses in kind of Eastern to middle Long Island. And I always, in the masses, with the Spanish masses, I'll preach in Spanish and then I'll say some words in English to the children, the high school students, and some of the college students and young adults. And I always say, as we get ready for this new school year, let's, if you have maybe say an hour or 2 hour block of homework, maybe you have some math. If you're in high school, maybe you have algebra or algebra two or geometry or pre-cal. Maybe you have a history paper. Maybe you have to write an essay for English. Maybe you're studying Catcher in the Rye, whatever it is that you're doing. Maybe it's a 2 hour block. Begin it, have everything organized. And then with no distractions in the background, no iPhones, no text messaging, and then say a prayer. Begin it, connect your homework to prayer. Do it for the glory of God. Say something as, Jesus, I offer this time for you. Most Sacred Heart of Jesus, I love you. A Hail Mary, some sort of aspiration, some sort of Our Father. And then just unite that homework time with God and make it a prayer. It's living the spirit of St. Joseph. And it's also expanding your capacity to be an intrepid missionary disciple in the modern world. Because if you're a Renaissance woman or a Renaissance man who can speak about a lot of different things, from the history of art to this history of cinema, to some dimension of the relationship between religion and science or math, you're able to reach a wide variety of people with the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Now, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy schedule. But before I let you go, could I ask you to give our listeners a blessing?
Oh, my honor, Jillian, and thank you for the interview. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we ask your blessings upon your servants as we celebrate this Labor Day. May St. Joseph the Worker intercede for us, bring us to a humble excellence in our work, our professional work, our work at home, the work we do as Good Samaritans to be of assistance to others. Help us all to grow in holiness and mission. May the Holy Spirit give us a special gift to deepen our mental prayer this week. And may Almighty God bless you, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
All right. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jillian.
Thanks for listening to the Capital Compass podcast, and thank you so much to Bishop Barris for coming on the show. We hope you enjoyed this episode. We'll be coming out with a new episode every other week. If you'd like to support the podcast, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave a rating and review. Don't forget to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And to catch all the latest from the conference, you can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at NYSCatholicConf and on Facebook at NYS Catholic Conference. Thanks again, and God bless.